WW248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The Pentagon says it's reviewing its policies and procedures following Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospitalization to treat prostate cancer. Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder.
We'll commit to being as transparent as we can in terms of the results of that review.
Cabinet members are also required to notify the White House chief of staff if they can't perform their duties. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Gaza needs more aid.
Israel needs to do everything it can to remove any obstacles from crossings to other parts of Gaza, improving deconfliction procedures to ensure that the aid can move safely and securely.
And today, prosecutors argued against giving former President Trump immunity for his actions on January 6. Attorney James Pierce.
The president has a unique constitutional role, but he is not above the law.
Well, former President Trump says he should be immune because he was president during the insurrection. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow will keep falling in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until the early morning hours. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Matinair that 40-mile-an-hour winds will keep driving hazardous the whole time.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages, too. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focusing on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A propane truck rolled over in a crash this morning in the town of Stettin in Marathon County. The call came in a little before 10:30 to report the crash near the intersection of Maple Creek Drive and North 30th Avenue. The driver reported a leak from the tank because of the crash. Fire units from Safer and surrounding emergency responders arrived on the scene. The tanker leak was determined to be minor, and there was no threat of fire or hazardous fumes. At no time was the public in any danger. Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market is reopening this Saturday, January 13th. They'll be at the Moravian Church in the basement from 9 to 1. The first 50 people to arrive will get a free Moravian reusable shopping bag, along with the vendors selling eggs, meats, salsas, greens, crafts, soaps, candles, and more. They're also celebrating the reopening with 4 door prize baskets. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
To go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now? You know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under. You know, we dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A winter storm warning is in effect as the snowstorm smacks us, ramping up this afternoon and into the evening as winds whip up to 40 miles per hour. It's a wet and heavy snow and will accumulate 2 to 5 inches, creating slushy, slick, and sloppy roads. Drive slow and safe. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Right now, in studio, we have from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, Promise Bakken. Promise, am I saying your last name right?
It's Bakken.
Bakken, thank you very much. I will try to get that right from now on. Promise is the first time she's been in with us today, and she is the Marketing Communications Director over at our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks a lot for being here. I have seen your name, and I've heard your name mentioned many, many times from our chamber members and other community members, and it's nice to have you in studio and get to meet you. This is fun.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Appreciate what you guys do for our community so much, and looking forward to talking with you guys more and more about New Year's and next year and so many great events that our chamber has. For now, can we get into some of the upcoming community events we have to look forward to?
Yeah, one of our bigger events that we are getting ready for here is our annual meeting and awards banquet dinner that is going to be on March 6th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so at that event, we like to recognize investors that had made impacts within our community throughout the year. We will be holding this one at the Ridges.
Mm-hmm.
We do have nomination forms out right now, too. So if you would like to nominate your favorite business or a business that you think is deserving to receive an award, our categories are Large Business of the Year, Innovative Business of the Year, Entrepreneur or Small Business of the Year, Community Impact of the Year, Professional Executive of the Year. And those forms can be found on, when you go on to, you know, Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, on our landing page there, those, the deadline for that is January 13th. So we highly encourage everybody to get their nominations in sooner rather than later.
I have a feeling, as you're saying that, Promise, that a lot of people had names or businesses pop in their head. And no time like the present. Get it in right now, especially while it's fresh in your mind.
Right.
We all know how it is in the beginning of the new year and a billion things going on. And before you know it, that deadline comes up. And they're like, oh, I didn't nominate the person.
You
want to get that in.
Yep.
This is also one of our favorite events. We love this event in this area. This is not only a fun event to hang out with the chamber, to be over at the Ridges, you know, our one of our favorite places to be, but it's also a chance for us to celebrate our community, celebrate our community members. It's one of those things, too, where I feel being nominated is such an honor, just that, let alone winning anything. It's such a nice opportunity to put a spotlight on not only businesses, but people, individuals we don't always get a chance to.
Right. I agree with that.
Thank you very much for bringing that up. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure, as we get closer and closer to it. And again, you can go to WisconsinRapidsChamber.com to find that form to fill out. Go to WisconsinRapidsChamber.com and you'll be able to find that form. I want to also encourage people to check out the events page on the Chamber's website. It's a great way to keep up on all the things that Promise and I are going to be talking about today. Go right there. Again, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. We've got another great one coming up, Promise. Encouraging the public. We're going to be.
Oh, yes, of course. So I'm not sure if people are aware that they can buy chamber gift certificates.
Mm-hmm.
And these gift certificates, once you purchase them, you can redeem them or use them at any of the businesses that are chamber members. So we have over 400 members right now. So if you're not sure, you know, what your spouse would like or what your son-in-law would like, or, you know, buy a chamber gift certificate and then they can use it anywhere in town here so long as they're, you know, on that list of chamber investors. We do see a huge influx of people buying them, like, over the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to buy them for, say, you own a business and you wanted to buy them as, like, an employee gift, you know, you can, you know, stop in and, you know, get those for your employees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great to use them throughout the year as well. Kind of helps circulate, you know, money throughout town. It helps small businesses. It helps our economy in town. It's just a really great way of, and it's easy too. I have a hard time figuring out what to buy people.
I hear you.
Yeah, birthdays, anniversaries, et cetera.
Go ahead and ask your mom or dad what they want for Christmas. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need anything. Oh, yeah. I don't want anything. Yeah. You're stuck and you're trying to figure out what to do. Now, there are a lot of options for gift cards nowadays, but there's only one that really features and puts back into our community,
right,
specifically us, and where we are able to keep the money right here in town. Yeah. We're able to invest in our local businesses. Getting a gift card from the chamber, it carries a different weight to it. And I also believe that it shows when you're using that card throughout town, you're showing you're investing in your community, that you're backing your community. So I think it goes a little bit farther than most gift cards do.
Right. Yep.
There's just a little more to it with that. And certainly the flexibility with that, too. You mentioned so many businesses are a part of the chamber that you'll be able to use this card at.
Right.
Which really helps with, you know, not just because we're past Christmas.
Right.
We made it through Christmas and everything. But there are birthdays. There are certainly, as you mentioned, you know, celebrating your employees at businesses. There's a lot of times where gift cards are going to come up in the next year.
Yeah.
Think of our chamber.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity. And promise, if people want to know more or they want to, you know, get a gift card, do they just go to the website? Should they call you guys up?
I would highly suggest they call. We do not have a feature on our website as of right now where you can order gift certificates. So just call the office and let them know that you're wanting to buy a gift certificate and we'll get it ready for you.
Very cool. Appreciate that. We're in December here. And as we're wrapping up December, we have some things to look forward to going into next month, into the new year. We have the community leadership and team leadership that we wanted to discuss a little bit with you.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with teen leadership. Hmm. So this program is designed to grow and strengthen skills in teens that we see that have potential in advancing in certain areas of their life. So it's basically, I was hoping to put my daughter through it, but to kind of grow like communication skills, leadership skills, organization skills, you know, the thought process of how to, you know, start organizing an event per se, or how to get a certain project started and launched and all those pieces put together. So the teen leadership program is, it's like an entry, you know, like kind of start exposing them to different areas in town that they might not be aware exists. So the idea is to start, you know, exposing them to these areas where they could work, start giving them skills that they can start utilizing, and then hope that after college that they see potential in the community and, you know, return to the community and invest in the community in the future. But speaking of which, you know, they are going to be focusing on information technology, which is huge right now, especially with how advanced we're growing in terms of technology. I think it's really important that they understand the importance of, you know, information technology and how they can use that to develop their careers.
The more comfortable they are with the tech world, the more that it's going to benefit them going forward. We're not going backwards with technology. We're only going more and more forward with it. The more that they understand, the better that they're going to be able to do these jobs or do some of these things.
Right.
With the leadership program, I'm curious, and I don't want to pry, but I wish the audience could have seen the look on Provis's face when you said you wanted your daughter to join it, because that is a great look. That's such as a parent, I felt that look. Why was it that you wanted your daughter to be a part of it? I don't need to get specifics necessarily, but what is it about the leadership program that you thought would benefit her and kids like her?
I thought it would have been a great opportunity. So the reason why she wasn't able to do it is because she moved in with her father, so out of town. But anyways, if she was here, I thought it would have been a great opportunity for her to get out of her bubble a little bit. She kind of has like a set of friends that she hangs out with, and not that they're, you know, bad influences. No. It's just additional exposure in other areas of life so that she's not so close-minded with, you know, the potential of this town.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's such a great point. And it's something that I think that not only myself, but others out there listening, we're that kid. We're like that. Yeah. So many, especially in small towns, you know, it's this idea of, oh, I got to see the big world. I got to get out. I got to do these things. And the idea of coming back may not always seem like an option. Maybe they are going to leave. But yeah. you mentioned something really key to this, I think, about them coming back.
Right.
Myself, I've got at least off the top of my head two or three friends that I know that moved back to this area after some years or what have you. And part of the reason I did was the perspective, the idea of some of the things that I remembered from when I was young. We just don't know what this might spark. They're a part right. of the leadership program. They learn and see things that maybe we don't see the benefits of immediately, but down the line they do and right. brings them back to this area. Yep. I got to tell you, promise, every month I talk with our Mayor Blazer. I speak with the mayor over in Point and Wausau. I keep in good communication with all of them, and everybody has the same concern, keeping community members here, mm-hmm. bringing new people here. It's a real key part to the survival of our rural areas. Right. And one of the biggest things and ways of doing that is not having this tax break or this big business or that kind of thing. It's yeah. getting to people and speaking to them about community, letting them see different things in the community that are going to bring them back. Right. That seldomly isn't, that very rarely is a certain one event or a certain one thing. It's a feeling.
Right.
It's the people. It's a lot of that continues to bring people back. When these kids are a part of the leadership program, they meet people that maybe they don't always talk to. You mentioned being in a bubble. I think all of us in high school yeah. get into bubbles, yeah. and this branches you out of that a little bit yep. more. Not only building more relationships, but finding out more things that you can enjoy and love about your neck of the woods.
Right. Yep.
It's a really cool thing to be able to offer to kids, this leadership program.
Yeah. I also think it gives them the opportunity to get, like, a step ahead
yes.
from their yeah. peers. You know, they're going to high school, they're thinking about where they're going to go to college, but like, what about what's going on in town now that could benefit your future? And I think this program is a huge benefit for, you know, teens that are willing to explore other areas that they don't necessarily get with their standard curriculum in high school. So
strong point. I also like the idea of whenever we can create more opportunities for young people to take pride in their area mm-hmm. and take a little self-worth from that as well, mm-hmm. because I don't know about others, but I know growing up, I took a lot of pride in my city where I was from. And that ended up building a little confidence in me, even being from there and stuff. And I think that any opportunity to build kids' self-confidence and self-worth is a positive as well. So you have a twofold here of right. by building love of your community, also building them up.
Right.
And there's no downside to building these guys up, to building right. these kids up yep. and everything. They are the future. Seems like a yeah. good idea to yeah. you have them feeling pretty good about going into the future.
Yeah.
Before I wrap up, there is also the community leadership program as well. There's the teen one and then the community leadership yeah. program.
So the community leadership program is more designed for adults that are already in a career mm-hmm. themselves. I myself did the community leadership program last year.
Hmm.
And I found it... it opened a lot of doors for me, you know, and I've lived in this area my entire life. And there's some things that, you know, throughout the program that I was like, oh, I didn't know that existed. That's mm-hmm. like, you know, it was eye opening for me. And yeah. I learned a lot from it. I learned a lot about, you know, my skills and, you know, how I communicate and what my strengths were. And it's really helped me be aware of those things from, you know, day to day. Right now they're focusing on community service.
Mm.
And that it goes in line with, you know, what is there available in town for us to, you know, do community service? Mm-hmm. Is there volunteer options? You know, where can we participate? What companies in town are, you know, looking to expand on community service, things in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Different. There's investing in your community by purchasing and buying products, and then there's volunteering and yep. investing in that way. It's nice to always see the you know, the great themes and the different ways the leadership program approaches year in and year out with what they're doing with something like that. That's really key to this. You're not only getting a chance to maybe see and hear about businesses you don't always get a chance to, which I, like you, I've been in this area for, I haven't been always from this area, but been in this area for over 20 years. Yeah. And every once in a while, I'll hear from something. I'm like, I didn't know that was around, or I haven't right. seen this person. So it isn't just businesses that you can connect with that you might normally, but right. people and the connections you make there.
Right. Yep.
One of my favorite stories about the leadership program is the couple that met through the leadership and ended up getting married and everything. That's maybe a little far-fetched. Maybe that's not going to happen every time, but it does speak to the relationships that can be built yep. outside of the business world, that, you know, friendships and different things that could be made that can bleed into the business world.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely stay in touch with some of the people that were in my group from last year, and it's nice to see them around town. Yeah. And one of them, you know, works for a print company in town here, and it's like, hey, how are you? It's great to see you. And another one works for, the CVB, and I see them frequently. So it's really nice to have made a connection with them prior to having to engage with, like, work with them, you know.
Right. And it's interesting. I've talked to people for at least past couple of years when it comes to the leadership program. Anytime we're talking about it, one of the first things to come up is loving running into fellow leadership members. And it reminds me so much of, I don't know, have you ever done a play? Have you ever acted before, done theater? Okay.
No.
when you're lucky, you get in the show and you feel like a family. And these are and people that even years and years later, when you run into them and you've been in the play with them, you're like, oh, hey, so-and-so. And you're happy to see them and everything. Yeah. It reminds me of that in many ways. It's a fun program to be a part of. And encourage businesses out there to think of getting your people involved in this. Leadership is one of the, I believe that everybody has a leader in them.
Right.
And what that means to you, figuring that out, finding that out, programs like this can help you do that, help not only embrace what that leadership is, but what it is to be a leader.
Right. Yeah, one of the things I encourage is if you're a business in town and you have an employee that you think has potential to grow, this is a great program to put them in. It'll help them grow in so many, areas of their career that, it'll help grow them.
With programs like, with something like this, just like we were saying with the teen leadership program, there is no downside. There is no negative to this. There's only but positives to it and great things that can happen from it for you and your employees.
Yep.
The roundtable revitalization, that was something else I wanted to touch on with you.
So our roundtable revitalization, so Laura is working on changing these up a little bit so they're more suited for what our businesses in town need. So one of them is the HR roundtable. We are changing that to the network exchange for HR professionals. So this group is going to focus on talking about those sensitive HR subjects, and it's going to be a closed group. It's going to be, confidentiality is going to be very significant, but it's an opportunity for HR professionals to gather together to talk about topics that are coming up for them right now, and they don't know how to approach them, address them, resolve them, or put a policy in place. And it's kind of like, hey, what did you do in your company? Well, we tried this, and, somebody else might chip in and say that they've tried this and it didn't work very well for A, B, and Z. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity to talk about those HR subjects with other HR professionals that understand what it's like to face certain challenges in that profession. So the second roundtable revamp here is going to be the safety, the network exchange for safety professionals. Hmm. So this is another area where it's hard to, it can be hard to implement safety measures, across the board in terms of, anywhere from working in the kitchen to a construction site to what do you do with bloodborne pathogens, things like that. If you're a small business and you want to develop, your safety policies, this is a great group to get into. We do have quite a few different people in this group from different businesses that discuss, upcoming safety challenges or share ideas on how to address certain safety issues. I think it's really great to kind of hear what a similar company might be doing, where you can take bits and pieces from their policies and implement them, in your business as well. So those two groups there.
That's one of the more fantastic ideas I have heard in quite some time. I think this is awesome. And I know that from the first roundtable discussion, I've heard some great feedback from that. So I have no doubt the second one will be just as impactful. We have no blueprint for 2024. Right. There's no outline. There's no way of handling certain things. There's so many things that are growing or evolving. We just talked about the tech world a little bit ago and how much that is growing. There's different things and different concerns for employers and employees than there's never been before.
Right.
So there's no blueprint on any of this. We're kind of figuring this out as we go. The more data you can get, the more, hey, this worked for us, this didn't work for us. It's not to say maybe it will or it won't for you, but at least it's data you didn't have before and something you can build on. When we're when we're building the boat on the water here, it can be a little difficult.
Yeah.
You need all the feedback you can get, all the data you can get, and being able to share it and do it in a positive environment, a friendly environment, I think goes a long way too, where there's it's not the judgment or any of these things. It's, hey, there are no bad ideas. What are you guys trying? Let's, you know, maybe put our heads together, see what we can figure out.
Yeah, and the great thing about that too is that you're collaborating with trusted professionals in the area, so it's great to get together and bounce ideas off of each other, especially if you don't have another person in your business to be like, hey, what should we do about this? Oh, no.
Right, yeah.
Go to this group.
Yeah. You know, it can be, it's something I don't think we think about very often, but it can be lonely being at the top. It can be, you know, as a business, as an owner of a small business or a big one. And having, again, people to rely, to lean on, to talk to about this stuff is going to go that much farther with us getting that blueprint set for, you know, what we do going forward with a lot of these changes.
Right.
It's a really good one. We're speaking with Promises Bakken.
Yep.
Ah, got it. Yes. Marketing Communications Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. And we've got a switch that we wanted to touch about coming up.
Yeah. So we have a event that is currently named Off the Clock. Mm. And this event is designed to bring chamber investors together so they have the opportunity to network. We do it once a month. We usually find a chamber investor or member to host the event. One of the great things this year is that we are changing Off the Clock to networking at night.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So with networking at night, we are going to change the time to 5 to 7, except for the first one because it was a prior commitment. Mm-hmm. And so the very first networking at night is going to be hosted by The Spot by Jacoby Custom Cues.
Nice.
In Nakusa on January 15th. It's going to happen from 5 to 7 p.m. We're going to have some great additions to it. So not only will you get the opportunity to network with other business professionals in town, we're going to start implementing more information, more opportunities to network. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. We're going to have like little mixers and Q&As and I don't know. I'm excited about it because I think that the opportunity to change it from Off the Clock to networking at night really provides people the opportunity to like, okay, this is my time for networking. I need to set this night aside because it's networking at night instead of
I'm with you on this. You got me just as excited as you and the team are over there for this. I love that name. I think that's great. I also think that it's nothing against Off the Clock in the name of that, but I think it's very like you. I hear that and I know what it's about. I know what this is for, and like you said, there kind of sets your brain for okay, this is a chance for me to network. This is a chance for me to run into people, whether you work in marketing or sales or whatever your business is. This is a good opportunity for you to get out there in the public and meet some people, maybe some people that you don't always get a chance to run into.
Yep. So the event itself, we have one host every month. And it's a business member or a member of the chamber. And with that, we are now scheduling into 2025.
Gosh. Wow.
So if you're interested in hosting and networking at night, you got to get on our waiting list and get on there soon. And, you know, the year rolls really fast. So,
yeah. I still thought it was June when I came into work today. I mean, it just goes by really quick. That's awesome. What a great opportunity, not only for us as community members and us to network, but for these businesses to be highlighted and have a chance to host these things.
Yep.
That's always a nice opportunity. Yep. That also is one of those things where, I haven't been here before.
Yep.
I'm going to go there for this networking at night. That sounds like a fun time. That's great.
As a host, too, you have the opportunity to speak about your business, you know, what's coming up for the year. And it's not just speaking to... what would you say, like an audience that might not?
Yeah, that might not always have a chance to see or be there, you know. But getting a chance to open up to a whole new group of people.
Yeah.
And you're having them come to you. You're not even having to go out there to the public or anything.
Right.
It's just a really cool opportunity. I could see why you guys are filling up really quick on this one. That's a good one. Looking forward to talking about that and many, many more things next year. Promise, you did it. We're done.
Yay.
Great work.
Thanks.
Hey, you got your first one down. I told you, you're not too bad. You're good at this. You're very good at this. Please say hi to everybody at the chamber for us. Thank you to you and the staff there for everything you do for our community and put into our community. We appreciate you. Have a great New Year's.
You too. Thank you.
We'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Many communities have declared snow emergencies and parking bans for today's snowstorm. That's so snowplow drivers have enough room to do their jobs. In some places, vehicles could be towed at the owner's expense. The heaviest snow is falling in the southeastern two-thirds of the state. Democrats say Republicans shouldn't politicize migrant border crossings. Congressman Mark Pocan tells WISN-TV's Up Front that there have been plenty of chances in the past to solve the immigration problem.
It fixed much of the broken immigration law that right now is largely broken, and Congress has been idle on dealing with this now for a couple decades.
Some Republicans want to shut the government down this month if there's no deal. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Be sure that on a day like today, your vehicle's headlights are not set to auto. Auto works on light sensors, and when you have reduced visibility during the daytime, they won't turn on by themselves. Turn your headlights to on so other vehicles can see you during bad weather. This turns on both your headlights and your taillights, making you visible to other vehicles and increasing safety for all. A snow emergency is in effect for the city of Stevens Point now until tomorrow at 6 a.m. Parking is prohibited on all city streets during this time so the streets can be plowed. Vehicles in violation will be ticketed and towed. The village of Plover has declared a snow emergency from noon on Tuesday until noon on Wednesday. No vehicles are allowed to park on village streets during this time. Vehicles in violation will be towed and fines could be applied. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
A Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
Did you go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now? Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under. You know, we dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A winter storm warning is in effect as the snowstorm smacks us, ramping up this afternoon and into the evening as winds whip up to 40 miles per hour. It's a wet and heavy snow and will accumulate 2 to 5 inches, creating slushy, slick, and sloppy roads. Drive slow and safe. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Hear from some of the top industry specialists from around the world of agriculture by attending an ag-focused conference hosted by Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Take in a day of learning by picking from 3 conference options, each featuring a unique agenda. Join the Ag Country team in Wilmer, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota, or Jamestown, North Dakota. Can't make it in person? No problem. You can watch the Ag Focus Fargo Conference virtually. Visit agcountry.com/events for more details and registration.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Lindsay Scheider, Director of Business Development and Real Estate Professional with Coldwell Banker Sear Realtors. It's time to Let's Talk Real Estate. We appreciate our friends at Coldwell Banker Sear Realtors, Belva Parr Realty and Advantage. And we always appreciate Lindsay being able to join us. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me, James. We have quite a snowy day for our radio show today.
Yeah, we've got quite the backdrop for this. Lindsay had a great idea about getting into some definitions in the real estate game and helping you kind of understand that a little bit more, and we're looking forward to diving into that. If you don't mind, Lindsay, I'd like to start with the marketing conditions and Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at Coldwell Banker, we really are the trusted real estate professionals. We're a source of knowledge, and we hope to be for information for not only our clients and our colleagues, but also our community members. So we are excited to talk about what's going on in the market, and we'll start with Wisconsin Rapids. We currently have 24 active listings in the greater Wisconsin Rapids area, one of which has had a recent price reduction. So we're now seeing a little bit of that seasonal dip in inventory. So we've had quite a roller coaster of inventory. Mm-hmm. We've been in the low inventory bucket for quite a while of time. But we had a little bit of an uptick actually late fall this year. And now we are seeing some of that winter normal seasonal dip in that inventory. Mm. But we have a really good number of properties that are under contract. So maybe that's part of it too, that our number of available things are just a little bit down because our number of properties that are under contract is up. So we have 30 properties that are under contract.
Right.
And the average days on market of those properties is 53 days. So some homes are sitting just a little bit longer on the market. Some of that excessive bidding that we were seeing really has subsided. Depending on the property, we do have some that are still receiving multiple offers, but much less than what we were seeing previously. And this is an exciting time since now we're here in January. We're able to look at the entire year of 2023. So the average sold price for the year of 2023 is just over $195,000 in Wisconsin Rapids. So that's a fantastic average sales price. Mm-hmm. It was steadily increasing over the entire year, and that's kind of where we ended up as an average over that entire year. We're still seeing 101 list to sales price ratio. So we're seeing that properties are selling at or slightly above the asking price on average. And lastly, what we kind of have dug in the last couple times we've talked about is kind of a newer bucket for us to discuss is expired listings. In the month of December, there was only one listing that did not find a buyer and ended up expiring. But this just shows that these sellers are getting a little bit more savvy with their pricing. The homes that are listed are getting accepted offers. So sellers are still in a favorable position, which is really great.
Yeah. Lindsay, when you get data like this, how does this benefit you going into 2024?
Well, that's a good question. I think just knowing what is happening in the market allows us to be better advisors for the people that we are working with, whether it is a buyer or a seller. We're able to share with them, you know, there's a lot of data, of course, across the internet, but be able to look at it at a local level. And some of the other things we'll dive into today, it's so surprising, even for me as a real estate professional, how different the snapshot is when we're looking literally a 20-minute drive between the communities that we'll discuss today with Wisconsin Rapids, Town of Rome, and Adams Friendship, and how different those pictures look and the difference of what's going on in those markets. There is some similarities, but even that, you know, of what area are you looking at and what's happening there?
This is one of my favorite half an hours every month. When we would do this show with JR, I would learn so much from it. And in speaking with you, Lindsay, I've learned even more. One of the things that stands out to me with this kind of stuff, the more data, the better, and especially the more specific the data, the better, because real estate is such a, as you touched on, such a different thing from zip code to zip code. It can only benefit you the more data you have. And I find that really interesting. Just as an outside observer of the industry, it's pretty cool to see.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And with the constant increase that we had in prices and the competitiveness that we had in the market with low inventory and fantastic interest rates that we're coming off of, we just, the values were on such an uptick and kind of going up that mountain. And what we're seeing now is we're stabilizing. You know, it is really just essential for anybody who is looking to sell, just to remain realistic and really work closely with your real estate professional to kind of set the appropriate listing prices, because that's really going to maximize interest in your property, maximize exposure, and secure a buyer for you, you know, as quickly and at the best price that you can.
Mm-hmm. How about our friends in Rome? How is it looking there?
Yeah, so in Rome, we have 17 active listings. We have three that had a recent price reduction. There are 9 properties that are under contract, with the average days on market being 52. So the average days on market, pretty similar to Wisconsin Rapids. The inventory as a whole, as far as active and under contract, is a little bit less than Wisconsin Rapids. But what I guess that kind of says to me is, you know, Rome is just a very seasonal community. Mm. We have a ton of second homes. There's much more traffic in the warmer months. So we do see a strong seasonality when it comes to real estate in this market. So that is some of what you're seeing. But with that being said, the average sold price in Town of Rome for the year over the course of the average of the whole year of 2023 is just under $388,000. That's a big number. So that's fantastic to see for our homeowners in the area, that we have gotten to a really good, you know, hopefully building people's equity in their homes.
Yeah, especially that area with the rise of Sand Valley and so many other businesses and things growing up. It's not surprising to hear a number like that, and I find it very encouraging. That's very cool to hear. How about Adams?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about Adams Friendship? What about over there?
So Adams Friendship, we have 30 active listings, 2 with a recent price reduction, and we have 10 that are under contract, with the average days on market being 92. So we have increased market time. It continues to increase slightly in the Adams Friendship area, quite a bit longer, actually, than Rome and Rapids at the 92 days. And then the average sold price that we have over the course of the year, 2023, is $216,000. So we're ending the year on a high in this market, as well as the other two that we talked about. The market really is, like we talked about, is stabilizing. So these properties are selling at 98% of list price, so just slightly below the asking price on average. And we had 3 expired listings in this market in December. So I think sellers are understanding that shift in the market. They're listening to their trusted real estate professionals about pricing, and, you know, which has added some trickiness as this market has been shifting and changing, you know, recently.
Yeah. Lindsay, I think sometime it'd be wonderful to get into expired listings and talk about what that entails and what you can do when that happens. I think sometime that'd be a fun conversation to have. But when it comes to Rome, Adams Friendship, even the Rapids area, the differences in these, is there hope for 2024 when it comes to this? If you're a seller, if you're a buyer?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think real estate is always changing, which makes it exciting and sometimes a struggle for real estate professionals, buyers and sellers, right, to put our finger on mm-hmm. the pulse of what is really happening. But absolutely, there is hope. So what we're hearing for 2024 is that we do hear that the interest rates are possibly going to drop a little bit more. Like, I don't have a crystal ball. I can only communicate what I've heard from others. Mm-hmm. So I never want to direct anyone wrong. But they are saying that with these interest rates kind of coming down to more of just a, you know, 5-6% range, and even some of that already starting. So that buying power for our buyers has increased. They say that for every 1% decrease in an interest rate, that actually increases your buying power by about 10%. So the trick with that is that this applies to every buyer. So mm-hmm. that increases demand as well. So we're in a unique moment right now where those lowering of rates with the median list price, you know, where we're kind of stabilizing with those prices, could make a really strong spring market. As I know it's crazy to talk about spring, we're here in January, but in real estate, that can happen as early as March. People start thinking towards the spring market. So that's, I guess, some future thoughts for buyers. And then as far as on the seller side of things, We do anticipate possibly an early seller's market. So listings with price reductions has dropped a little bit from the weeks prior. So a seller can, of course, wait to list or whatever they choose that is best for them. But we do anticipate that the competition for these homes will increase in the spring. So some of that, you know, there's more homes for a potential buyer to look at and could end up giving up some of their gains on their next purchase if there's competition for what they're looking to purchase next as well mm-hmm. in the springtime.
Well, we can't predict the market perfectly. We can predict and rely on and trust our friends over at Coldwell Banker. We can guarantee that. You can trust them and reach out to them with any questions you have, especially if you're a buyer or a seller. And when you're doing that, Lindsay, there's a lot of terminology that's going to be given, whether you're hearing or not. And I don't know about you, but I hear a word I don't know, and I get excited and a little embarrassed. I get excited because I'm going to learn something, and I love learning. And I'm also a little embarrassed as an adult that I may not know what a word means. You had a great idea about going over some of these real estate terms. I appreciate that. And we're going to get into that now with our friend Lindsay Scheider as Let's Talk Real Estate with our friends at Coldwell Banker, Sierra Realtors, Belva Parr Realty, and Advantage. Lindsay, where do you want to start with these definitions?
I'm just excited to talk about some of these. I think that it is, you know, people that don't work in the real estate industry day in and day out, that there's nothing to be embarrassed about, because it's normal for some of these to be confusing. And so I'm excited to share with our audience today about talking through what these things mean for
okay.
sure.
All right. So what about appraisal? How about that? We hear that one quite a bit.
Yeah. So an appraisal is really an assessment of a property's value. So this is conducted by a licensed appraiser. So this is a separate professional, but it's aiming to determine the value of a property. So they're going to be looking at location, size, condition. They're also going to be looking at comparative sales in the area. And they then create a detailed report. And this report is most often used by a lender to make sure that the property is suitable collateral for getting a mortgage. And it really is, the whole process of getting an appraisal is crucial in real estate transactions to make sure that there's fair pricing. We're mitigating the risk for the buyer and the lender that is involved in a purchase.
All right. Okay. I feel better about that one. How about closing costs? What about that? What about closing costs?
So, closing costs are really the fees and the expenses associated with finalizing a real estate transaction. So some are paid by the buyer, some are paid by the seller, and sometimes that also can be a confusion, but there's various fees that can be incurred, and they can be charges for services like title searches, appraisals like we just spoke about, legal fees, even the processing of a loan, and of course the purchase price of the property itself. So like I mentioned, both buyers and sellers share these expenses. And really important for both parties to kind of understand what those could be so they can, you know, plan and budget accordingly when preparing to buy or sell a property.
All right. That sounds good. We appreciate that, Lindsay. Doing really batting 1,000 so far. What about trust account? How about that one? Can I throw you on that one?
Sure. So a trust account is an account where funds are held during a real estate transaction, so until all the conditions are met. Let me clarify on all conditions are met. I guess when two parties, a buyer and seller, decide to enter into a contract and have a what's called an offer to purchase, that is a document, a contract between both parties that are saying, buyer is going to do this, seller is going to do this. This is what we have agreed upon, and we have signed the contract to acknowledge that we've agreed on these terms. There are sometimes conditions that have to be met, right? The buyer might need to get a loan. Maybe there's some inspections or testing that needs to occur before we get to the closing table, which is another reason why there is time between an accepted offer on a property and a closing date. So a typical, accepted offer to closing is about 30 to 45 days, depending on the terms of the contract. But back to our trust account, this account can be held through a real estate brokerage, a title company, or even an attorney's office, but it allows for the financial arrangement of that contract that we talked about to hold funds, important documents on behalf of the parties of the contract. And it acts as a safeguard, making sure that both parties fulfill the contract of all those promises that we made to one another before the transaction is completed. So once the conditions are met, we have the funds, the documents, everything's released, and we have a secure and smooth transfer of ownership of the property.
Fantastic. I already feel a lot more informed and aware of not only these terms, but feel like I understand the industry even a little bit better through these terms. And I didn't expect that. That's great. All right. I'm going to keep trying to throw curveballs at you, though. I think I could stump you on one of these. What about title insurance?
So title insurance is insurance that protects against any financial loss from defects in title. What does that mean, right? Defects in title. So it's a type of coverage that is going to protect a property owner and the lenders, if there's one involved, of course, from any financial loss where the property's title needs to be what we call free and clear of any liens, encumbrances, any legal issues, or even any outstanding mortgages, right? So Mr. Seller owns this house. He still holds a mortgage on it. Well, that mortgage needs to be paid in full so that we can then, again, have that smooth and comfortable transfer of ownership over to Mr. Buyer. And so the title insurance does their due diligence to literally go back in the history of the property to make sure that anything that was put against the property, like I mentioned, liens, like mortgages, encumbrances, any legal issues, are cleared so that this new buyer doesn't have any issues going forward.
Not bad. All right. Now, there's some terms, too, that I think we have heard quite a bit, but we may not understand the true definition of them. So what about, like, down payment? How about something like that?
Yeah, well, one thing, I guess, as I was organizing my thoughts for our conversation today, so like to talk about down payment for sure, And that kind of goes hand in hand with a mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also step one in that process for a buyer in getting a mortgage is actually a pre-approval. So I'm going to take a step back before I answer your question and talk a little bit about a pre-approval. So a pre-approval really, in the simplest way, is a process where a lender is going to review a buyer's their credit worthiness, and they provide a commitment saying, yeah, we can lend money to Mr. Buyer for this amount, right? Mm-hmm. Based on their income, their debt, their credit, this is what we're willing to do. And so that pre-approval really helps a buyer understand what that looks like. What's that monthly payment potentially going to be? Is that comfortable for their family budget? And sometimes we have buyers that, oh, I'm a pre-approved to, you know, X amount, but that monthly liability of that mortgage payment, that doesn't feel comfortable for me. I'd rather have it less. So mm-hmm. even though they're pre-approved up to a certain amount, maybe our home search actually is going to be less than that so that they feel comfortable with what they're going to have to pay every month. Because, of course, there's also costs associated with purchasing outside of just that mortgage payment. There can be property taxes, sometimes HOA, homeowners association fees, other costs that can be associated in a monthly liability for that buyer as well.
Hmm.
Then jumping back over to kind of the mortgage part of it, because it's kind of all related, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that mortgage is really that loan that is being used to buy real estate. Most cases, the property is also serving as collateral for the loan, meaning if a buyer is not able to pay that monthly promise of the mortgage payment, the lender would take possession of the property back through a process known as foreclosure.
Hmm.
Back to your original question of the down payment, hopefully I'm not doing too many crazy circles for anyone.
Oh, no, I like the way you're doing this. Yeah.
So the down payment is an initial upfront payment that is made by a home buyer as part of that purchase price. So it is when they're purchasing a property, typically it's a percentage of the property's total purchase price paid in cash by that buyer. It serves as that buyer's contribution towards that purchase. Even though, of course, they're getting that mortgage, right? They're getting that loan. A buyer is required typically by a lender to have a down payment, you know, some skin in the game,
mm-hmm.
to put some money forth towards that purchase to actually secure that loan.
Hmm. That was very helpful, Lindsay. I really think that was helpful the way you did that too. As you said, they're all attached, and they really understanding one, it's helpful to understand one, it's helpful to understand them all together. So that was a nice mm-hmm. way to do that, I thought. We got a couple minutes left. I want to throw a couple more at you. I think I might still be able to get you. Amortization, if I'm saying that right.
It's actually amortization.
Amortization. I knew it.
Yeah. So this is really, it ties really nicely in with the mortgage conversation that we just had. So this is the process of paying off a loan through those regular payments, right? Usually monthly. That is going to include both principal and interest. And I guess let me just take a step back to make sure that people understand what those words mean. So the principal of a mortgage is, you know, say you borrowed $200,000 for your home purchase. You borrowed $200,000. That is the principal. That is the actual money that you borrowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
$200,000.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these banks, they're awesome. They help us purchase things when we need to, such as houses. But they also charge us interest for us to be able to borrow that money. So whatever that interest rate is, we talk about interest rates a lot. Mm-hmm. An interest rate that is higher is going to be a percentage. Or an interest rate that is lower is going to, again, be the percentage of that example number, $200,000, that we pay every month. And so it is each mortgage payment is going to contribute towards reducing that loan balance. So in our example, $200,000, at the beginning of the loan, there's a greater portion that's allocated to the interest. And then as we move through paying those monthly payments, it moves towards paying off more of that principal as the loan matures. So it's really just a systematic repayment structure that makes sure that the loan is paid off in the agreed upon term. So a typical mortgage is a 30-year mortgage. And so if you have a fixed rate, it's going to be that same mortgage payment every single month for 30 years.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The